Good morning, church. And I'm so scary. Not because of you. I feel better because of you, but because of my English. Your pastor and my friend, Paul, he trusts me so much that he let me preach with this broken English, or mostly I call Polglish. As a Polish language with English words, or Polish grammar with the English words. Anyway, good morning, and let's expecting the miracle when I have a meeting with you men's, you know, on this men's breakfast in the morning yesterday. I told them that we have to believe in a miracle, I say what I want to say, and they understand what I want to say. And they say they quite understand. That's actually, this is what was their testimony. So hopefully the God is with us. And you know, once my old friend told me that in every pulpit and in every church, doesn't matter what the kind of what a language we use, the miracle happened between the mouth of the preacher and the ears of the listeners. That's when he touched the word. That's when the word become anointing, you know, to do the job. It's so good to be here again. Once in a while, I come to United States, and then when I'm here, I like to visit friends like Paul. And like your pastor say, we went through all kind of experience and adventures together in our life. I only not agree that I never change. He changed. He's now so skinny compared with me. But you know, you about to be a skinny, you doesn't help very much here. Somebody told me that you eat only once in day in America. You start in the morning and finish in the evening. And it is quite true. It really doesn't help me. You know, when I come this morning to your church, I look up and over your main door, I saw the kind of pretty demanding statement of faith you have. Probably all of you remember, but if not, I will remind you. It says there, love God. You agree? Love others. Make disciples. When I say by demanding, I mean that without Jesus, isn't possible to live it out. Without Jesus, this can never happen. How without Jesus I can love God? How without Jesus I can love others? I can try, but how long? How, without Jesus, I can make disciples? It must be something supernatural happen in my life to make this true. So, you know, not long ago, I shared with my people in our church some spiritual truth that I went through a few last years. Because, you know, this year was quite difficult for me. Sometimes we come to the presence of God and we feel like Job, you know. We feel like everything's go against us. This year, in January, I struggle with my health more than ever. And then I went to the doctor. And the first checking, they told me I have a tumor in my brain. It was a kind of devastating news, you know. I thought, what then? What next? We pray. I walk with this. But about 2 weeks, they told me that was a mistake. There was no tumor in my brain. I was like, okay. But you know, before that, we have a storm, and the storm very strongly hit my house. and the water get into my basement and ruin over some of our stuff. But I thought, okay, it's just enough difficult. Then, before I say what happened next, I would say in the name of Daniel and from my name, that we're so thankful for your prayers. It's touched my heart when your pastor says, Lord, I pray for Daniel Kulets. And that was in March when he called me and he asked me, Dad, are you think I'm going to die? I was like, no. No, it is impossible. We will pray. This cannot happen. So I said, God, it was too much for me in the beginning of the year. But I was not ready in April. My oldest sister, she got drunk so strong that we can actually say she committed suicide and she just died. So, you know, in the May, I stand before the Lord and I say, Lord, what next? What next? I love you. And I never going to complain. But, and it comes to my mind, the old song. You probably remember this old song. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. I know you have some answers. And something strange happened. It's about the May. The God touched many hearts in my family, in my church. And somehow we get the hope, strength, and kind of a joy and the faith to pray. We start to believe that everything gonna be all right. He will touch. Sometimes we have to go to the valley of shadow, but he will take us through to make us better, to make us closer, to make us somebody who can love God, love others, and make disciples. So, you know, to fully trust God, we have to become disillusioned. We have to become disappointed, I say, with three things. That was my lesson that I want to share with all my heart. We have to become disappointed with people first. The second, we have to become disappointed with religion. And the third, we have to become disappointed with ourselves. And all these things through my life disappointed me so badly. This experience of disappointment cleans the heart from false foundations and supports and teach that the only God can be faithful. Your faith statement and my life can be accomplished and can be according to His will only with His help and His presence. Amen, church? Are you so far? You understand my English? Yeah, if I'm boring and you don't understand, feel free to play on your phone, read the books, or read your Bible. I really pray, you know, to be serious. I pray. I know you have to come here. You spend money on the petrol. You sacrifice your time. And I don't want to abuse your time. And I don't want to waste your time and waste your petrol time. Money, whatever, you come here, you're here, and I'm here. And I would love to minister to you. So that's why I say we need a miracle. God have to use me to talk to you. I say we have to become a disappointment from We have to become disappointed with ourselves, with people, and with religion. When I say with people and with religion, you know, when I first came to the church in Poland, I thought I had met the perfect people. You have this feeling too, first time in the church? I thought, finally, I realized that in Poland are some perfect holy people. They probably never have problem in their job, in their home. They never fight. They never cursing. They never get drunk. They probably never sin. They are so wonderful. Later come this painful disappointment. And I say, well, they let me down, you know. I'm so disappointed. But that was not their fault. That was my fault because not enough careful. I do not read the Bible enough careful. But also, that was sign of my growing up. Mirek, growing up, you cannot put your faith in the people on in your religion, on your denomination. But the hardest disappointment is the one we experience with ourselves. You know, Jesus never disappointed me. I disappointed him many times. Or I think I disappointed. He was not disappointed. He know what I am, you know. 100 years before I was born, he know. But I know, you know, that I was not always in his will. So the hardest disappointment is the one we experience with ourselves when we see our own weakness and inability. Because tell me, can a teacher without school or writing skills, did such teacher can teach anybody? No. Can a church without followers can make a new followers? If I am not follower of Jesus, can I make a followers of Jesus? So I realized that sometimes Lord lead us through the difficult time. And maybe some of you will say, well, this guy looks so unhappy. His sermon today was almost depressing. He say about this valley of shadow. You want or not? All of you know, if you're older than 5 years old, that we have to go to the valley of shadows in our life. We want or not, we speak very optimistic or very pessimistic. Sometimes things happen in our life, and in such moment, it's better when we trust in the Lord and we know what He can do for us. Remember a story of a prodigal son? I learned something. When a prodigal son started his journey home, the devil didn't fall dead, you know. The devil still exists. But there was still so much that had to happen. He started his journey back home as the prodigal son. And most of us, if not everyone, we are kind of prodigal sons. That one day in our life we decide, Jesus, I give you to you my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And sometime when we are in the church, we have these feelings, we become like a prodigal son, you know. We trust so much in His grace. We trust so much in His mercy. We know that He is a good God who can forgive our sins. We are so open to tell others. It's this kind of first love. We just come and we understand the Lord. I was the prodigal son. We sing Amazing Grace. We believe in these things with all our hearts. But if we not grow, we come to kind of a second position that is not very good. We become, or we live like the older brother. When he forget what the mercy is. When he forget who is the Father. And he was kind of like, you know, of some of us in the church saying, well, it's so much sin around, everything is wrong, all this or that, you know, I don't like. You know how it was the oldest son. Oh, Father, I'm always with you. I was always good man. I'm good boy. Why, you know, you take care of this prodigal son? He spent time with the prostitutes. He get drunk. He do all the sins. I'm a better. I meet many Christians like that. And this story teaches something, showing us the three positions, and the two only are very good. The one is the prodigal son, but you cannot stay here forever, you know. I can't be all my life the prodigal son, you know. But I cannot become like the older brother. But the third position is the father. He gives us the lesson, be my followers, be like me. Expecting a sinner with the broken heart, pray for them. Expecting people come here and become disciples, become the other prodigal sons who can follow Jesus. It makes sense for you? It's the third position that we start to imitate the Father with our love, with our acceptance, with our pray, with something, you know. And that's what we do in our church. I'm so glad when I see other and other and other baptism service, you know, like this year's. First of all, I see we baptized 12 people. Maybe it's not many, but it's 12 new souls, you know, new followers. Then soon after that, we have a baptizing 18 people. Maybe 18 is still not many, but you know, 18 plus 12, wow, we have more and more and more and more. He wants to show us the Father's heart. That is the goal we are called to follow. So today, let me humbly, like, I understand how difficult must be for you to listen this English, you know. But let me humbly show you four places of spiritual growth that become so true for my heart. And I want to tell you something. Each person in this room is one, and if somewhere in one of this position that I will show you, or if one of these places that I'm going to show you. That was a few years ago. I was here in America. We went to Alabama. And I don't know, maybe you have sometimes such experience that just preacher comes, stand on the pulpit, he says something what you heard 1,000 times before, but you really never heard. But that day, Lord, make this true. Lord, somehow touch your heart and make this kind of a true of your life. And that was that day, not far from here, closer than my home in Poland, in Alabama, you know. I never expecting that something like this can happen to me in Alabama. Wow. You know, I like Alabama. It's harder to understand their English, but I like it, you know. Believe me, it's so hard, you know. They speak very different than you. You know, I went to the small village and, you know, I apologize, you know, for my English. I say, I'm sorry, I know it's hard to understand my English. When a pastor told me, believe me, I understand you better than some of my members. And after that, when we have a lunch together, I realize why. Wow. I think still about the inscription about the door, your doors. How I can make this true and not just be over our doors, but somehow right into our hearts, you know. It's a book, I say, that's what the preacher says in Alabama, and just touch my heart. Exodus 6, 5 to 8. You know, God says, I have heard the cries of the Israelites who are being forced to work as slaves in Egypt. And I remember the promise I made to their ancestors. Tell the Israelites that I, the Lord, will free them from the Egyptians, rescue them from their hard labor, and redeem them with the great acts of power. I will take them as my people and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord who brought them out of Egypt, and I will lead them into the land of promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to them as their own. Four places. You are somewhere in one of them. This is what we teach in our church, and this become kind of our faith statement. Our faith statement is knowing God, find the freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. It's kind of like yours everywhere. We even have a cups with our coffee cups, you know, with our faith statement. It's become so kind of like revelation for us. Everyone in the church, when I preach to my congregation, doesn't matter how many people come, I know every one of them is in one of these four place positions. Knowing God. The Jewish teacher and the writer, maybe some of you read his books, Abraham Joshua Heschel. He write the powerful, but not easy, but powerful book, God is the God who is searching for men. And his point was that it was not Adam who walked through the Garden of Eden and cried, God, where are you? But it was God who walked through the garden and cried, and I guess with tears in his eyes, Adam, where are you? He is the God who is searching man still today. He was searching for you and for me. God is the God who seeks out people. He won't fight you. So first, everything starts if we know God. If we don't know God, we have to meet him, you know. Because if we do not know him, doesn't matter what happened later. We can become, you know, members of a church. We can come for church in the Sunday. Often in my church, in Philadelphia church, actually I forget to tell you, all our church send the greetings to Three Point Bible Church, you know. Take your greetings from our church. We really enjoy your pastor when he was with us. You have to meet God. And when I tell the people that meeting God that's what built the church, I often say, you know, to our congregation, we never go to church. We do not visit church. We are the church. You do not come to church today. You are the church. Without you, it's just the empty shell, it's an empty building. Tomorrow, somebody can take this building from you if the things change, and anything can be here. But nobody can take something from deep in your heart. That's what we learn in the history. Knowing God is so important. And some of you are here. You know that you met God, but don't stop here. What we do in our church, and I heard you doing in your church, we have the alpha lessons, like, you know, the first steps of, you know, our faith, how to grow, how to love him more. The second position is you have to find freedom. Because if you met God and you do not find the freedom, he cannot call you. He cannot use you. You are on the chain of something. God won't call you, for example, somewhere to some place or people. But what if you hate them? What if you not like them? What if you're afraid to do or that or that other? You know, how can God call somebody who will discuss and say, no, not to them, Lord. I can go the other. You know, of course, it's better to go for the mission to, I don't know, to Switzerland, to Zurich, than to Uganda, you know. But I won't be God. Call me anywhere you want. I was called to Russia, you know, for the Polish man, we're not very much like to go to Russia, you know. But he put the love in my heart. I won't have this freedom to be called everywhere. So if you met the God, then find the freedom. It can be very easy thing, like, I don't know, like smoking cigarettes, drinking too much, sending too much on TV, or even something much deeper because something happened in your life. And now you have to ask him, God, make me completely free. I won't be able, send me anywhere you want. So if you find the freedom, we teach our people, and I won't tell this to you, discover a purpose. Find a purpose. Let's say this more Christian way. Receive your calling. God won't call everybody. We are not mystics. You are not born because, you know, something they are, you know, I have in my church people that their parents tell them, you know, you're a mystic because me and dad, we drink too much. We have a girl, they tell this, like, you know, it's painful. But I'm so glad the gospel can tell her, you're not mystic. I know you're coming. I know where you're living. I know when you come. I know your life and I will use your life. So discover the purpose. Calling. This is what makes church growing and become a, this is what makes our church, you know, important in our community. If our church doesn't make disciples, we're kind of, who cares who we are, you know? In my church, I would say, nobody needs us. We have enough political parties, we have enough clubs, we have enough organization who can play much better music than we do. But the only thing we can do different than anybody else is that we can make disciples of Jesus with his great help. So discover the purpose. I remember when I was trying to learn how to make our church fruitful, how to see the calling. And let me tell you one of my most important lessons of my life about the calling to ministry. Because every one of you is called. I went to Costa Rica to the mission trip. And I met one of the most legendary preachers there in Costa Rica, Alberto Badilla Castro. And you know, I spent in his church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we even do not see his service, but I already know I'm in the powerful place full of Holy Spirit. They do so many ministries, so many things. He showed me this ministry for sick people, for prostitutes, for drug addicts, for alcoholics, for homeless men, homeless women, and other. Every day they're showing the new minister their schools. I thought, wow. I can imagine the Sunday, you know. But Thursday evening, he say, come to my house. We have together a supper. And he told me, I can say that you like what we're doing. I say, oh, yes, sir. Well, so much. I wish my church is so active. And he gave me great lesson. He say, Mirek, never, never, ever copy what we're doing. Never, never copy. So I say, how you know what to do? And that this advice completely changed me as the pastor and as the leader and as the minister and as the man who received God's calling. He said, Mirek, we always first looking where is the fire that consumes people's life. Everywhere where is the fire that ruins people's life, that's where we're going to help. So don't copy us. Just look in Poland. Where is the fire? Be like the fire station, you know. They do not go somewhere when it's not a fire. They go only to places when people call and say, hey, house is in the fire. That's where they go to save people. And he said, that is what God will show you. Ask him, Lord, show me where in Poland is the fire, where people are losing everything, dying. So where is the suffer? Where is the tears? Where is the fire? Go there with the water of Holy Spirit. Minister to them. And your church start to grow. And that was the key. That's how the growing come. So discover the purpose. After you met God, find the freedom. Discover the purpose and make it different. And sometimes we think that making it different is to preach to 1,000 people. No. I told not long ago to my daughter. She was so tired. She back from hospital. She told me she have to wash through old, you know, wash and change the diapers to some old people. And I told her, you do so. This is what changed the world. If we wash the sick person, if we feed the hungry, if we just do wherever God open our eyes for anything good Jesus can help, that's what make it different in this crazy world. That's what make it different and bring people to Jesus. And sometimes we have to go through the almost fire to open our eyes, how important is this? In 2007, I built the new church building. I was so busy. I preach, I evangelize, you know, we do so much and so much, so much. But one morning, I wake up and I feel so sick. And I first thought I'd just get the flu, you know. But it was first day, the second day was worse, the third day was even worse, the fourth day was even worse. And then I lost my conscience. The doctors give me some injections. When I wake up, I can barely recognize who is who. The doctor asked me, tell me the name of your town. I don't know, I live here. But what is your town name? I say, I don't know. What car you drive? I thought, red. The guy will never tell you what color a car he drives. He can tell you what the number, the engine, the horsepower. He have no idea. Most of you guys don't know what the color you have here on the parking. You know, we know white, black, and other colors. That's what guys know. The woman, they know 20 different greens, you know. For us, it's green, if we know it's green. But I say, red. Then I cannot recognize the people. They ask me about some friends. I have no idea who they are. They take me to hospital. To make long story short, they realize I have encephalitis. That's ruining my brain. And the doctor says, if you survive and you find yourself on the wheelchair and probably you're going to lose your vision, you cannot see anymore, it'll be going, this is still a miracle, we can say. That's what they told me. So I went through the days, weeks, and months of the hard time. And about a year later, my condition was not better. I was so weak. And one night I pray, because I went to the doctor. He looked on all these, you know, papers, and he say, it's not good. Prepare yourself. You have to get your retirement, you know, some insurance money, but you have to stay home. I can barely say something. My Polish was much worse than my English now. That was, you know, I can, that kind of way I sometimes speak. I spent the night with Lord, and Lord showed me miracle. And I saw some sins in my life. You know what kind of sin? I don't have any other woman. I always love my wife. I do not drank vodka. It was not this kind of thing. It was my gossips, my pride. I was a pastor, but proud. I was the pastor, but I know how to gossip. Very nice way. Can put the cross on that. That was so nice. But God, we cannot fool God, you know. He showed me that, and I called my wife, and I say, you know what? I need the confession. You're the only person I know I can do it. And I confess my sins. I say, you know, I'm lost. I come to the edge. I know my sermon today, my message is not so optimistic. I know the people like today heard more like, hey, pray, God have for you a new car and $1 million, you know. I let do this to others, you know. And something happened. I tell the Lord, I tell my wife, she just put very short prayer over my life. She say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I went to bed, so tired. Till that day, I can barely hold the cup. I cannot drive. The other lady have to bring groceries to our home. We have 4 kids then, you know, little kids. The next day, I stand on my feet and I feel like I'm okay. God touched my life. And he healed my brain. When I went to the church Saturday morning, when people saw me come through the door, it never before happened in my life. Whole church standing, and they start to clapping hands to the worship the Lord. And when doctors checked me, they say, wow, this is so big change. Meet the God. Find your freedom. Receive your calling. Change the world. What do you think about 3-Point Church? Well, this is my message to you. I hope God translates this to you better than me. You know, I some Polish people watching this, they send me a message, we're going to watch you, Pastor. I'm so ashamed. They know I can say better thing. Hey, why are you watching this in Poland? Turn off your computers. I'm here in America. Friends, thank you for sending your pastor to us. Thank you for your love. God bless you. I think that's all what I want to say today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary.